All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Okay, we got 100 miles to go in 45 minutes. So when that happens, you just go faster. So when I go faster, you have to listen faster, all right? All right, Josh? We had a little conversation about going to sleep last week. All right, Matthew chapter 6 and beginning in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so we've been studying prayer, and we've moved into this model prayer that the Lord has given us. He says here, after this manner, which implies that it's just a framework, it's a model to be built on. Basically, after this manner means to pray along these lines. When you look at the New Testament, you'll see that there's really two great pillars of the faith that of the faith and relationship to man's daily walk, and that is the study of God's Word and prayer. You remember when the church leaders were overwhelmed by the need to minister to the Grecian widows, and so they chose seven men that could deal with that, and they said the, one of the purposes that they wanted that to be dealt with by other members of the church is that they could give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And so prayer is very vital. And last week, as we looked at 2 weeks ago and then last week also, we concentrated on this first phrase, our Father. And we talked to you about how that he is our Abba Father, that he's very personal. When we approach him, we don't have to fear him, that he is one that is very much open to his children. And we also, then the next, after we talked about that, we said that as the physical father models the father of the Bible, or should, that there's times when a father in this life cannot grant the desires and the wishes of his child when he lives in rebellion. And we just walked you through some of the things that restrict our prayer. The Bible says, if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord won't hear us. And regard is to know that there's sin in your life, and we just leave it there. We make excuses for it. And that's going to stop answer to prayer. Also, a verse that was very powerful, I thought, at least to me, was the one that we talked to you about in Proverbs. And I just want to read that again. But Proverbs 28 and verse 9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, and the law doesn't just mean the Ten Commandments, but or even the first five books of the Bible, but the Word of God, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. And so when I'm asking God to do things and I'm not willing to listen to God's Word, it's something that God despises. It's an abomination, very powerful Word. Then we also found that discord in the home is going to affect your prayer, and also selfish prayer. And so we pointed out to you the priority of this term, our Father, which art in heaven, that the first part of this prayer was concerning God, kind of like the Ten Commandments. The first four concerns our relationship to God. But our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Two, thy kingdom come. And three, thy will be done. And then the prayer for our own selves begin with, give us this day our daily bread. And so we see that there's a need for a priority. And the priority always in our life ought to be to acknowledge God, to give him first place, to desire that he would be glorified. When we speak of priority, what we mean by priority is that this was more important. That the greatest importance goes to the Lord. When we hear somebody say, you need to get your priorities right, well, particularly when we pray, we need to get our priorities right. And so God comes first. Now, I want to talk this morning, and like I say, there's lots here, and we'll see how far we get, but about this phrase here, hallowed be thy name. Like, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? Hallowed be thy name. Some would think it's kind of like an official thing where you would say, long live the king. But that's not what it is. Today, we think when we talk about names, today we think of somebody's name, and really in America, a name is just some way that you identify someone. We don't really, some parents are conscientious about names and they want to look at them, but it's not really in a whole across American society. A name is just something that identifies us as a certain person. There are meanings to names. My name, Gene, means well-born, but I didn't come from any kind of royalty. I had no silver spoon in my mouth. And really, it just was one way to identify me from Jim and John and Rob or Dave or someone else. It's just a tag that's put upon me. Now, Caleb's name is Caleb Gene. And what Caleb means dog, and he's a well-born dog. But when you really search that out further, when you think about a dog, and, you know, we usually, you dirty dog, but have it in a negative way. But a dog is someone who's faithful. A dog is always faithful to you. He's devoted. He's wholehearted, except pastor's dogs. But your dog always, at least the dogs I've had, they want to please you, you know. And when I yell at Molly, you know, she'll put her head down. It's, you know, like it's the worst thing that's ever happened to her all day long. And she wants to please you, and pretty quick she'll come up to me and put her head on my leg, and she wants to be accepted. Well, that's part of the name Caleb. But when we get into the Bible, the names had a sacredness to them, and names had a very great meaning to it. And sometimes it went even too far. And I want to just take a, probably this is a rabbit I shouldn't chase this morning, but Leviticus 24, I want you to look there, Leviticus 24 and 16. We'll just see here that there's a great importance put upon God's name and the importance of that, and we'll look at more and more what we mean by his name, but in Leviticus 24, 16, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemeth the name of the Lord shall be put to death. He that blasphemeth the name of the Lord shall be put to death. And so the Lord's name can be blasphemed. But what happened here in this verse is that during the Babylonian captivity, the Babylonians spoke more Aramaic, and that's when the Bible, after those 70 years, some of the Bible was beginning to be translated, and the spoken language was the Aramaic language. And the word blaspheme was very close, in Aramaic, was very close to the word pronounce. And so the Jews took that to an extreme. And when they would read this verse in Leviticus 24:16, they read it as he that pronounces the name of the Lord. And so they thought it was wrong to even speak. It was so sacred, it would be wrong even to, with your mouth, pronounce the name of the Lord. And if they did, then they shall be put to death. So here's what they did. They took the name Yahweh, the Old Testament Hebrew word, from Exodus at the burning bush where he said, I am that I am. That's the Hebrew word Yahweh. And they took the word Adonai, which is translated Lord, and they took the consonants from Yahweh, and they took the vowels from Adonai, and they made this word Jehovah. Jehovah is not a Hebrew word. Jehovah was a word that was fabricated so they would not break this, what they thought this was saying, pronounce the name of the Lord. But that was just extreme, and the Jews went to extremes in lots of areas to where the Jewish religion departed greatly from God. It wasn't based upon faith. It's based upon works. It's based upon dotting the I's and crossing the T's. But nevertheless, Leviticus 24:16 is in the Bible, and God's name can be blasphemed. And so when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we ought to desire not to do something that would blaspheme his name. And so what is it, this thing about a name? Well, I want you to go to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. Moses is concerned about God being with him in Exodus 33 and verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee. Moses was just saying, if you don't go with me, you know, how can I go? And God says in Exodus 33, 14, my presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And so Moses is wanting to make sure that God is with him. And then in verse 18, Moses, he wants to experience God. He wants to know God. He wants to understand, who is this more in depth that's going to go with us? Who is this God that's going to accompany us? And he says in verse 18, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And so he wants to see God's glory. And God responds, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And so here we're going to get into, when it says, hallowed be thy name, we're going to get a very enlightenment here, very much enlightened about what does it mean, the name of God. It's not just the name Dave or Jim or Gene or John. It's something greater than that. And he says, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And so he's going to proclaim the name of the Lord. Now, if you go over to chapter 34 and verse 6, this is where it happens. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. You see, here we're getting into the reality of what the name of God means. That he is gracious. When we speak the name of God, and we want to hallow the name of God, we need to understand that he's gracious. That we need to understand that he's long-suffering. Think about it in your own life. That he's abundant in goodness. Who's greater in goodness than our God? He's truth. His mercy is for thousands of generations. His forgiveness, his justice, and not clearing the guilty. And so you see, when we talk about hallowed be thy name, what we're talking about is all the attributes of the person of God. And so when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we're thinking about who he is in his entirety, that his name identifies him for who he is. And in some fashions, we think that ourselves. When we think about, I think about my former pastor, Charles Thomas, and when his name is mentioned, I think about how there, the blessing that he was to me. And when we think the name of God, we ought not think it's somewhere out there, that he's someone far removed. But when we think about God and we talk about his name, we're thinking about his entirety of who he is and what he really means to us. And the fact that what all that's mentioned here in this passage. And so it represents all his attributes. The psalmist said, And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hath not forsaken them and seek them. And so the trust in it's not trust in the word Yahweh, of course, or Adonai or Jehovah, but it's in the person. Psalmist said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That his name implies who he is. It goes beyond just Jehovah or Adonai or Yahweh. And I think we have a key to that, even in the New Testament. If you go over to John chapter 17, and John chapter 17, and John 17:6, well, look in verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they kept thy word. The word manifest, what does that mean? Well, God's name was manifested in that it was displayed. The name of God, the person of God, who God is, his attributes, his entirety, the godliness of God, the magnificence of God was manifested in this world through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the name, the hallowed name, is the name that we're talking about is the entirety of Christ as he lived upon the earth. You know, that he had time always. He was never a captive to the tyranny of the urgent. He never went by a person in need that he didn't reach out to meet the need. He stopped the widow Nain on the road as her son is going out to be buried and raised the dead. And Jesus has manifested the name of the Lord. And so a name is not a title, is all we're trying to say. And when we say, hallowed be thy name, we're praying that the person, as we pray, and this world, that the attributes of God, the majesty of God, would be hallowed in this world. And so I've said all that just to try to not give you a bunch of information, but to tell you that when we pray the prayer, hallowed be thy name, there's a richness to that, and there's a depth to that. That it's not ever to be flippantly said. It's not to be taken lightly. And so, what about this word then, hallowed? Unfortunately, we probably identify that with Halloween. Hallow. We see that word hallowed in Halloween. Let me say to you that there's nothing biblical. There's wickedness in Halloween. But the word hallowed, it's All Saints Day, it's supposed to be. Saints, the word saints comes from the same word as holy. And it's to be separated. It's to be consecrated. It's to be set apart. That the name of God should be set apart and above and beyond, miles separated from the name of Gene. It has a special place. What it represents should have first place. He ought to be number one. And so when it says, hallowed be thy name, it's not that God's name would be holy, because he's already holy. But as we're praying that it might be sanctified and made holy to our view. One man said the following, what is hallowed? It's to set apart from everything common and profane, to esteem, to prize, to honor, to reverence, to adore as divinely and infinitely blessed the true and only God. And you cannot speak of God in earthly terms. You cannot drag God down to the street talk. God must have titles that are fitting for his power and his holiness. How easy it is in our lifetime to go through it saying, hallowed be thy name, hallowed be thy name, and have no idea what we're even saying. The truth of such a petition is that God is to have the rightful priority place. My heart ought to longingly seek to have him glorified, to honor him in every situation, in every circumstance, in every relationship. And so let's don't bring him down to street level talk. He's to be separate. He's holy. And so exactly when I say hallowed be thy name, what am I praying? Well, let me say that it's more than a prayer that God's name would not be used in vain. It's much more than that. It's more than a prayer that others in the world would reverence him and worship him, because it's more than that. The implication is that I would want him to be holy in my life. It's a prayer that his name and all that he is might be hallowed. And so how do I hallowed his name? If I pray, hallowed be thy name, then what is the responsibility on my part to make sure that that does occur in my life? How do we hallow his name? How do we set it apart? How do we make it holy? How do we make it above all others? Well, I think that first and foremost, you need to be saved. You need to come to the place where you believe in him. Hebrews says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to him, cometh to God, must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The man that denies God is not only a fool, but he profanes the name of God. To reject God as your Savior, to deny the existence of God, to deny God his rightful place in your life, is to put his name in the dirt. It's to profane his name. And so, if I'm going to hallow God's name, the first and foremost, I'm going to come to him believing that he is, that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him, and that he's to have priority in my life. What does it mean to profane? I think that's a word we don't use that often, but it means to desecrate it. It's to use it in an unworthy fashion. It's to use it in to drag it down. So, first of all, I must believe right. Now, secondly, I don't have a verse for this, but I should have got one. The second way that we hallow his name is what I believe about God must be accurate and it must be right. If what I believe about God is not accurate, then I am defaming his name, That if someone says something about you and shares something about you that they know, and it's not accurate, it's not a good thing. And so we must be accurate about what we believe. Many people say that they love the Lord, that they reverence his name, but the name that they reverence and what they believe really profanes the name of God. For instance, when the Mormons say, as God is, we will be, that brings God down to the pig pen. We'll never be like God is. It drags his name down. They're not accurate. And when we're not accurate about what we believe, we profane the name of God. We can't pray, hallowed be thy name. When Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus, who is the manifestation of God, is only a manifestation of God, and he's not really God, then they're not hallowing the name of God. They're bringing it down. When the Nazarene and the Pentecostals say that a man can lose his salvation, when God said those who come to him will never be cast out, they profane the name of God. You see, we live in a day of tolerance. We live in a day when we want to bring unity to, you know, and even, sad to say, even Mormonism is being accepted underneath the flag of Christianity. Listen, they profane the name of God. They're not hallowing God's name. When the Calvinist tells me that he no longer can tell a person that he's talking to that God loves them, because he don't know for sure if God loves them, but whether God selected them to be saved, then it profanes the name of God. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's two words in there that are very significant. World means world. And whosoever means whosoever. And so what we believe directly affects the name of God. It matters what's preached from this pulpit, not just whether it's truth or error, but it matters because it directly reflects upon my God. And his name cannot be profaned. It has to be hallowed. And so when our pastor gets up here and he preaches the truth and he lays out what God says, you know what he's doing? He's hallowing God's name. It's not just a matter of prayer. It's not just a matter of what takes place in my life. But it's a matter of being accurate concerning who God is. And when we're not accurate, that's why Baptists ought to be sticklers about the Word of God. We ought to be sticklers about what's preached from this pulpit. It matters what's preached from this pulpit. Not only because error is deadly, but it's affecting the view of my great God, who cannot be drugged down into the dirt. One of the saints of the first century said, "The man who brings into his concept of God ideas that have no place there takes the name of the Lord God in vain." Isaiah says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. And so I hallow his name by believing in him. I hallow his name by being correct. I hallow him by him being my Savior. But also, look over in Leviticus 22. Leviticus 22 and 31. Therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you. We pray, hallowed be thy name, and we fulfill, hallowed be thy name. And you see that these are not two separate thoughts, but they're two thoughts that meld together, that come together. Therefore, shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you. What he's saying is this. When we do not keep the commandments of God, we dishonor his name. Now let's think about that. When we disobey our parents, it's sin. When we disobey God, we profane his name. Abraham honored God by going to sacrifice his son, and the Bible says in Genesis 22, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. The psalmist said, I delight to do thy will, O God. And so, when we pray, hallowed be thy name, then there's a number of ways that that can shake out. I think sometimes sometimes this area of worship, you know, did we really worship God today? And I think sometimes, you know, if we don't have a warm, fuzzy feeling after the services, then did we really worship God? Well, let me say to you that God's name is hallowed by obeying what the Bible teaches about tithing. We obey. God's name is hallowed when we submit to baptism upon profession of faith. God's name is hallowed when we obey those that have authority over us, whether it's our employees, our parents, our magistrates, or the pastorate. God's name is hallowed when we walk according to his laws. We hallow God when we hallow his day. Of course, we've been through this in this church, but John in Revelation said, in the spirit of the Lord's day. I've been listening on the radio as I go to work, but there's a guy from Scotland, and he's preaching on the Sabbath, and I don't get it all. I might have to get his book, but I'm wondering if some ways we don't profane the Sabbath today. And I know the seventh day, I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about the Lord's day. And I've used this illustration. If I had, I used it at work one time where they wanted me to work on Sunday and at the Home Depot. But if I had this friend of mine who early in my life rescued me from certain death in a raging river, and he was able to rescue me and get me out, and if he hadn't have, I would have died. And I get a call, and they say, you know, it's a number of years later, but they're saying, we're going to honor John this week, and we're going to have a special, he's having his birthday, we're going to have a special party, and we want his friends to come, and we're going to honor him for his life, and we know that he saved your life and you were close to him. And I say, okay, whatever. And I hang up and I say, forget that. Well, that would be, you know, what kind of person would I be if I wouldn't go and honor him on his day? A bum of all bums. It would be horrible. And I don't think it's too much that God asks of us to honor him once a week for his great salvation and his love for us. It's the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day. And Sunday's not just the day the pastor says you need to be in church. It's the Lord's day. And we hallow his name by honoring him with our presence on the Lord's day. And you've heard it here and you'll hear it again as long as I've never changed my conviction on this. If you continually and constantly on a regular basis have to work on Sunday, you need to find another job. Because it's the Lord's day. Sometimes things creep up, but when you continually commit yourself, you can think what you want. I had pointed discussions with Alan Brandt about working on Sunday. He was killed working on Sunday. God's name must be honored. God's name must be hallowed. God is God. And so we honor God's name and we hallow God's name by obeying. And then look over in Psalm 16 and verse 8. Well, he wasn't killed working on Sunday, but he was in his firefight on Sunday that resulted in his death. And that brings no joy to a pastor who watches for men's souls when people reap what they sow. Matthew 16 and verse 8. He says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And so, if I set the Lord before me, if I come over here and every place I go, every place I do my business, Chris is before me, then I'm always seeing Chris. And the rest of the world round about Chris, you know, I'm seeing it through Chris or looking around Chris, which is, you know, have to look. My point is this, is that I honor the Lord and make his name holy as I view the world through him and looking by him. Look, he's first. And so, when calamity strikes and my world is falling apart, I've set the Lord before me. He's there. He knew what happened behind him. But he's there first and foremost. And I view this world as though I was looking through his eyes. I view this world as him being always in the forefront. You understand what I'm saying? That I hallow his name. The psalmist said here, I have set the Lord always before me. I hallow his name by having him before me. He's always in the forefront. When calamities happen, he's in the forefront. When blessings happen, he's in the forefront. When he's in the forefront, then I say, and you know, everything's happening in my life, but he's in the forefront. I say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what are you trying to work in my life? And the ramifications extend to many areas. When I first came to Alaska, there was a family that was struggling financially, and most of them was over his own bonehead decisions. But he came to me one time and he said, the Lord has dumped on me. What was his problem? Well, God wasn't hallowed in his name. God's name wasn't hallowed in his life. If we set the Lord before us, we hallow his name. And we begin to see and understand that what? Exodus 33, that he's gracious, that he's long-suffering, that he's merciful, that he will not overlook sin, but he saves us. And so, there's much, much more that could be said here, but hallowed be thy name. Really, really nails it down that he's to be honored, that he's to be put first and foremost. The psalmist said, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come to his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. And so it's a matter of worship. It's a matter of obedience. Obedience is an act of worship. It's a matter of correct belief. It's a matter of having a biblical perspective of who God is. And so when we bow our head, to pray, hallowed be thy name. Let's make sure that in praying that we're wanting to be right in the center of his will. That we're wanting his name to be manifested through us. That we want to experience his graciousness and his long-suffering and his mercy. That we understand that to disobey is to say whatever. To disobey, to disobey my parents was not only punishable, but to disobey my parents showed total disrespect for my mom and my dad. Let's not disrespect God. Let us hallow his name. Our Father, Papa, Daddy, Abba, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Understand? Okay, you're dismissed.